takes the initiative with us as well. Second lesson we can learn from this is that we all have a Nineveh and a responsibility to go. God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We have a great commission that we call it in the New Testament. And the great commission is not go to Nineveh or any particular city at all for that matter, but rather the great commission is as you are going, preach the gospel and make disciples there. And so God has given us a commission, just as the people of Nineveh, they needed to hear a message of salvation. And Jonah was the one that God had chosen to take that message. And God has chosen each one of us to be missionaries for Him, like Jonah. And each one of us has the responsibility to take the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. It doesn't have to be Nineveh. Your Nineveh might be your neighbor next door or across the street. Your Nineveh might be a person that you work with there. But God has given to each one of us a Nineveh, and He's told us all to go. He wasn't specific, as I said, with us like He was with Jonah. And so God didn't say to me in an audible voice, go to Sumter. But He led us here, and God leads us to places where He wants us, and He wants us to be a witness where He places us there. Lesson number three, we see that all sin must be dealt with. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, He said, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And so all wickedness is before the Lord. Whenever we sin, it is always against God. Now we might sin and harm others as well, even as David did with Bathsheba, but he realized against thee only have I sinned whenever he prayed and confessed his sin. And so we are thankful that sin has been dealt with on the cross, but there has to come a time in our lives where each one of us individually, we must deal with the sin issue. And whenever we come to confess Christ as our Savior, then we accept what God has already done as He has dealt with sin. So all sin must be dealt with, so which means that either we accept the work that God has done through Christ on the cross, or we let God deal with our sins ourselves. And we certainly don't want to do that. And so all have sinned, but we don't have to have punishment because of sin. We don't have to die and go to hell because it has been dealt with on the cross of Calvary. But here on earth, when people sin and they refuse to acknowledge it and try to go their own way, a way that's away from God, as Jonah was doing, it's not going to go well, as we saw in chapter 1, and we will continue to see as well. Lesson number 4 is you cannot hide from God. It said Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. And so it's not again about the particular city where he was going, but the next phrase, from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa there. And so he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord, but we know that can't be done. You're probably familiar with Psalm 139, verse 8. The psalmist says, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So it doesn't matter where we go, whether we go to the top of the mountains, whether we go to the valley, we can go in a submarine, a literal submarine, not like Jonah's submarine there of a fish. We can go anywhere on earth, but no matter where we go, God is present there, and we cannot hide from God. Adam tried to do that as well. Whenever he realized that he had sinned, that he was naked, and he tried to hide from God, and God came to Adam and said, where art thou? And he was fleeing from the presence of God. At least he thought he was. But he found out that you can't flee from the presence of God. And that's a good thing. Even whenever we are straying away from God, it's a good thing that God doesn't just leave us totally on our own. But He is there, and He's only a prayer away. So we cannot hide from God. The next lesson we learn, number 5, and this chapter 1 of Jonah, when we run from God, we always go down and we always pay the fare. It says, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it. And so anytime we run from God, we always go down. And not only did he go down to Joppa, and he went down into the ship, he went down into the sea. And whenever the fish swallowed him, he went down to the bottom of the sea. Think about Ananias and Sapphira as well. Whenever they were lying and they disobeyed God, and they said they had sold the property for such amount of money, and they were keeping that, and they had lied to the Holy Ghost there. It tells us then that as soon as they had spoken, they fell over dead. They went down. They went down to the ground. Then they went down into the ground there. Anytime we run from God, we always go down. We always pay the fare. And so when we don't accept the price that Christ has paid for our sins, and we commit sins and we try to go our own way, it's not going to be in our best interest there. And God tries to teach us that over and over again. But we as sinful people, we can sometimes be stubborn, and we all like sheep have gone astray. We each turn to our own way and we think, well, yeah, I know that happened with so-and-so, but with me it's different. And sometimes we try to rationalize these disobediences to the Lord. But whenever we run from God, we always go down. The sixth lesson we learn. Disobedience brings winds of adversity. Verse 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken there. And so it wasn't just accidental or coincidental that this great wind comes along. God's hand is on Jonah. Even though Jonah is trying to get out from under the hand of God, he's trying to run from God and go his own way and do his own thing, God sends a wind. Remember the prodigal son who had decided to leave his father's house and go his own way and do his own thing. And he went and he paid the fare thereof, didn't he? He spent everything that he had. And he wasn't in the bottom of the sea in the belly of a fish, but he certainly was in the pig pen there. I imagine Jonah didn't want to eat fish anymore after his experience, and Peter maybe not. He didn't want to eat chicken anymore after he denied the Lord, and maybe the prodigal didn't want to eat pork anymore after he was with the prodigal. It may have changed their thinking of their diet, but disobedience brings winds of adversity. Are you familiar with the song that says, wasted years, wasted years? Oh, how foolish. And that's what the word prodigal means. It means wasted. And so whenever we are disobedient to the Lord and we run from God, as Jonah did, there are times in our lives that's wasted. It may not be years. It may be days or months. But whenever we try to run from God and go our own way, we're not going to be able to accomplish God's purpose, the great commission that He's given to us. We're going to miss out on being used of God. Miss out, as we saw this morning, as Israel was the rod of God, that He was using them, and God wants to use us. But whenever we are disobedient, we're going to miss out on the blessings. But we see even in the disobedience of Jonah that people get saved. So God is all-powerful, and He's able to accomplish purposes even in spite of us. But as I said last week, it's so much better when He does it because of us instead of in spite of us. Lesson number 7. You are never lonely when you walk with God, only when you run from God. In verse 5, it says, the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man to his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship to the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. Here he was all alone, and he lay and was fast asleep there. And he's running from God, and he's all alone. Whenever we walk with God, there may not be any other humans with us. The psalmist said this in Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And so even if father and mother, the last ones we would expect to forsake us, even if they do, he says, the Lord will take me up. So when we're walking with God, we are never alone. It may feel like all the world is against us. Our family's against us. The church is against me, or whatever. Everybody's against me. But if I'm walking with God, I don't need to feel lonely. Here was Jonah, alone and lonely in the ship. The prodigal son that I mentioned, here he was alone in the pig pen of life there because running from God. Number eight. Lesson number eight, the sin of one person can affect many others and even endanger the lives of others. When the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth their wares that were in the ship to lighten it up, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. Whenever God came to Jonah and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, he probably didn't think all of these things through. Now, what if I disobey God? Wonder what's going to happen. You know, how's this trip on the ship going to go, going down to Joppa? I doubt he really thought that through very carefully there. Whenever we disobey God, we don't usually think of all the potential consequences there. Usually our reasoning gets kind of muddy, and we don't reason through things properly there, because that's what sin does. It deceives us, and the reasoning aspect is usually gone, and we make decisions emotionally. Here was Jonah, as I mentioned last week, a Jewish man. God was sending him to these heathen people, to these Gentiles, and he didn't want anything to do with these Gentiles, and he was letting his emotions and his own desires persuade him to his actions rather than thinking through it logically. It would have been nice if Jonah would have had a godly brother in the Lord. He could have gone to and said, God has told me to go to Nineveh and preach to these heathen people. What do you think about that? And a godly brother would have said, if God told you to do it, you better do it. But he didn't. He made his own choice there. And whenever he did, he never thought that he would endanger the lives of the others. But all these mariners on the ship was about to go under. And Jonah's disobedience was about to cost other people their lives. And oftentimes, we might not reason it all out, but we might say, well, it's not hurting anybody but myself. But we don't often realize the harm to other people that we can do if we go our own way and run from the Lord. Lesson number nine. Sin can cause us to lose material things when we try to correct issues ourselves. It says the mariners took the wares of the ship and they threw them overboard to lighten the ship there. And these material things were not bad. You know, there are material things that we have, worldly goods that we have, that are not sinful and evil in and of themselves. And here they having these material things that they realize these aren't that important. Whenever it comes down to a life or death situation, they're beginning to think, you know, all of these things in the ship that we need, the wares that we have, the tackle and all of the supplies, what good would they do us if we go under and drown? And so they begin to realize the most important thing is their life there. And so even things that are not worldly, that are material things, whenever we come to life and death situations, we begin to realize what is really valuable in life. Lesson number 10, halfway there, everyone has a God. The shipmaster came to Jonah. He said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And all of the others on the ship were there praying to their gods. But here was Jonah asleep and he wasn't praying. And they were looking at it from a worldly standpoint. You know, this denomination's got to pray, and this one over here, and all of these Mormons have to pray, and Muslims have to pray, and everybody has to pray to their God. And maybe one of them is serving the true God, and some God will answer us there. But everyone has a God. A God is a master. And we all have a master. And we all are slaves. The wonderful privilege that we have that God has given to us is we get to choose our master. We can either choose to serve self or serve sin, or we can choose to serve the Savior. And God has given us that choice. And here's Jonah, who was a prophet of the one true God, the only God who's going to be able to hear and answer them there. And so may the Lord help us that we would be faithful servants to our master, the Lord himself. Number 11, all the others were praying, as I mentioned, and praying to any other God other than Jehovah is useless. It is also idolatrous there. It says the mariners were afraid in verse 5, and they cried, every man unto his God. And there's only one God who can actually hear the prayers. And so all these other people were praying out like the prophets of Baal with the prophet Elijah there. They were all crying out to Baal. They were cutting themselves with stones and all of these things. And their God never responded. And the reason their God never responded is because he's not real. He doesn't have ears. He can't hear. He can't see them in their needs. But we have a God who is a personal God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is a personal God. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is a personal God. He's spirit, but he's a person there. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a thing. It is God himself, and we have a personal God there, and we can go to him. And Jonah had what they needed. He had a God who hears and answers prayer. And the world around us, they need what we have. They need a God who hears and answers prayer as well. Lesson number 12, apathy towards God's word can be dangerous. It tells us here in verse number 6, the shipmaster came to Jonah and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. And here is Jonah running from God. God's word had come and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. But he disregarded God's word. He's become apathetic to what God has said. And here he is disregarding it, sleeping in the bottom of the ship. And it's about to be dangerous for him and all of those around us. And so when we look at God's word and we read it, hopefully daily in your devotions, and God speaks to your heart about anything in his word, if we don't act on it, if we say no to it, it's like building calluses on the hand. The more we say no, it's like using the rake or shovel or whatever, and we build up those calluses so it doesn't begin to affect our hands as much. Whenever we say no to the Word of God, the heart becomes calloused as well when we are apathetic. Lesson number 13, actions speak louder than words. When the mariners came to Jonah and they asked him who he was and who is his people and where is he from, he answered them and said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. His words said that he feared the Lord, but his actions did not demonstrate the same thing, did they? Because had he really feared the Lord, he would immediately had gone to Nineveh like God had told him to. And the same thing is true with us. As believers, we need to make sure that the world around us, the mariners that live around us, so to speak, that whenever we say, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, the actions that they see in us must support the testimony that we have from our lips, because our actions do speak louder than words. Number 14, there's never a good reason for disobedience, only excuses. The men were exceeding afraid in verse 10, and they came to Jonah and they asked him, why have you done this? Why did you disobey the Lord? And of course, whenever we start looking at that, why do we disobey? We can offer excuses for whatever disobedience that we might have against God's commands in Scripture, but there's never a good reason for it there. Remember the parable of the Great Supper, where they all were invited to come to the Great Supper, and one said, I just bought a piece of land. I got to go and take care of it. And another one said, oh, I've just bought some oxen. I've got to go and prove them. And another one said, oh, I just got married and I've got to take care of my wife. And they all had all of these excuses there. And so, as they say, one excuse is as good as another if you don't want to do it there. And that was Jonah's problem. He just didn't want to do it. And so it doesn't matter what the excuse is there. He was disobedient, and there's never a good reason for disobedience there. Number 15, trying to go forward without dealing with the problem will not work. Here they realized there was a problem, and Jonah was the problem. But the men didn't want to throw Jonah overboard, so they tried as hard as they could to resolve the problem themselves. And oftentimes, when God is speaking to our hearts, convicting us of some sin, we're thinking we can maybe sweep it under the rug, or we can go our own way there and not deal with the sin. We're not going to go forward in our walk with the Lord until we deal with the problem. And sometimes the problem may not be a sin in our life. Sometimes the problem might be a relationship with someone else, that we need to deal with a problem before we can go forward. And once they did that, they were able to go forward. It's sort of like someone who's out cutting a tree with an axe and has a dull axe. You know, he can keep taking that axe and keep pounding it against a tree, but if the axe is dull, he's not going forward. But if he takes the time and addresses the problem of the axe and sharpens it, then he can go forward and accomplish more. And sometimes we need to, as the Scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron there to take care of the problem and then go forward. Number 16, selfish prayers do not please God. Here are the mariners, and they're crying unto the Lord. All capitals there is Jehovah. They cried out to Jehovah, and they said, we beseech thee, O Lord. Remember earlier, they were praying to their own gods. Now they're going to pray to the Lord Jehovah. And they said, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, Lord, hast done as thou please there. And so whenever we're praying, we don't want to do as these people did and have selfish prayers. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't ask God to do things for us, because He invites us to give Him the desires of our heart. But as we pray, we also must pray, not my will, but thy will be done. So when we pray and we ask God for things that might be on the selfish side of it, we do so with humility and reverence and say, God, if this is not what you want, then I don't want it either. But we can go to Him and give Him our desires there. Well, these men were selfish in their prayers because all they wanted to do was not die. At this point in time, they didn't want to serve Jonah's God. They just wanted their lives to be spared. Number 17, an unsaved society will not care about you if you are a threat to them. They took up Jonah. Verse 15, they cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, at first, they wanted to cooperate. You know, they wanted to try to solve this problem without having to throw Jonah overboard. But when the rubber hits the road, so to speak, and they see that it's not going to work, then they didn't care about Jonah anymore. They were willing to throw him overboard. And the world in which we live, a godless society, oh, they might try to cooperate with Christianity and our standards and our views and our opinions that we have from the Word of God. Oh, they might try to do that for a little while, but when the rubber hits the road and they have to make a decision, an ungodly society, they're going to not care for us either. If we become a threat to them, which oftentimes we are when we stand upon God's Word, because it's not us, it's not We are not the ones who are the threat, but God's word is, and an unsaved society will not care about you if you are a threat to them. Number 18, fear can sometimes be used for good to draw someone to God. Verse 16 says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Sometimes people respond more easily to compassion. We share the love of Christ and His death on Calvary and how He suffered and bled for us, and people are moved by compassion. But sometimes the Bible says that we have to snatch them out of the fire. And sometimes the fear of hell is needed. So when God sends us to our Nineveh, we need the guidance of God, because there are some people that we need to give a message of, except you repent, you will perish, like John the Baptist. But some people we need to deal with like Jesus dealt with the woman at the well, with compassion. And so some people are going to respond to the compassion and some to fear. And God uses both of those things to draw people into His kingdom. And as servants in His hand, we need to know how to rightly divide the word of truth and when to use a message of fear and when to use a message of compassion there. Number 19, to draw near to God, sacrifices and vows are needed. Here are the mariners in verse 16. It says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. A religion of convenience is not pleasing to the Lord. It's not acceptable to God. And so whenever these men, they really wanted to please the Lord, and they didn't want to just spare their lives, whenever they cast in Jonah and the sea became calm, they realized that Jonah's God really is the one true God. He is a God that hears and answers prayer. And then it became a serious thing with them. It wasn't a selfish thing. And whenever it became serious, they offered a sacrifice and they made promises to God. And as I said last Sunday night, God makes promises to us. And whenever God makes promises to us, He always keeps them. And that demonstrates to us His faithfulness. So when we make vows and promises to God and we keep them, it demonstrates to God and to others that we're faithful with the vows that we give to Him as well. And lesson number 20 from chapter 1, God is always prepared. Nothing catches Him by surprise. No pun intended there on that catches Him there as Jonah was catching the fish here. Verse 17, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That word had. So it wasn't like here's Jonah there on the ship and all the mariners are saying, what are we going to do? And they were. They said, we got to figure out something. Well, while they were doing that, God was not up in heaven saying, now what am I going to do? God already knew what He was going to do. God knew what He was going to do before He even told Jonah to go to Nineveh. God knew what He was going to do before Jonah was even born. It says that the Lord had prepared. God already had preparation made for a servant of His that was going to go astray. And God already has things planned. We have a God who is sovereign. We have a God who is omniscient. He knows every decision we're going to make, whether it's a decision to run from Him or whether it's a decision to offer sacrifices and vows to Him. And nothing catches God by surprise there. We often talk about in our plans that we make that sometimes we have a backup plan. We have a plan B, as we call it. Aren't you glad that God never needs one? He never needs a plan B, a backup plan, because His plan, His purposes will be accomplished because He knows what's going to happen. And He's already worked it out in advance. He had already prepared this submarine ride for Jonah there to spare his life there. And we can rest in confidence that God has everything under control for us as well. Even when we're disobedient and straying, God never, ever left Jonah. Not even when Jonah left him, God was right there. And we serve a God who is compassionate and patient. And so in chapter 1, we see Jonah's protesting, which demonstrates the patience of God. Aren't you glad that God is patient with you? I'm glad He's patient with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these lessons that we have seen tonight from the life of Jonah. And Lord, we thank You that You are a sovereign, all-powerful, omniscient God, that nothing catches You by surprise and You have things planned. Lord, help us that we would be faithful servants, that we would go where You send us, that we would take the message of hope and life that You've given to us, whether the people are Jews or Gentiles, regardless of their living conditions or their lifestyles, that we would take the glorious gospel of Christ to all the world so that people could hear and be saved. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.